I'm sure.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Wow, good evening and welcome to the one and only Scarycast. This is Dr. John, and boy, do we have a great show lined up for you tonight. First of all, I want to say hello to my co-host, Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. How you doing, Papa Stro?
Doing great. Great to be here.
Oh yeah, we're glad to have you here, and we got such a great show. This past weekend, you and I were at the Lizard Man Festival in Bishopville, South Carolina, and our featured speakers there were two ladies, Rob McRae and Janice Carter, and we had so much fun. I asked them to come on the show tonight, and I'm glad they did. And so, first of all, I will say hello to Robin. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Glad to be back.
You are welcome. Glad to have you here. Janice, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well.
Great. So we're just glad everyone's here. Devin will try to join us a little bit later. He's at a function out in Hollywood, and that's fine, as long as we know where he is. Now, let me ask, does someone have a television on in the background?
No.
You might want...
There's a lot of feedback.
Okay. Yeah, there is, but that's okay. We'll keep – oh, that's better now. Anyway, yeah, just glad to have everyone here. You folks didn't talk about Lizard Man. You talked about Bigfoot because you both have a lot of experience in it. I'm going to ask just first of all, just a real brief question to each one of you individually. So tell us a little bit, Janice, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about your experience with Bigfoot. It's quite extensive.
Well, it started when I was about 3 years old. I saw what I thought was a monkey in the tree line. And when I first encountered Fox, was one that my grandfather had worked with and was friends with. I ran into the back of his leg when I was 7 years old. We were out picking blackberries, and it started from there, interaction. I was pretty limited to the old farm where I grew up until I was in my almost into my 20s. And then I started moving around the countryside. I worked with horses. And I ran into them in New York, South Carolina, Pennsylvania, Ohio. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, almost every state in this country.
So whenever you moved and settled in a little bit, you were contacted or saw Bigfoot, right?
Yeah, different ones, not always Fox and his family group. But, however, several places that I've moved, Fox moved also and followed me to these places. I lived in Indiana. I was working with two other individual groups of the forest people up there. And when I moved up there, I had no clue that they would travel like that. And he ended up in Indiana.
Wow. Maybe he's the one that our buddy Matt Delph saw. Who knows? But, well, that's great. Now, is Fox still around?
No, Fox has been dead since June of 2010.
Okay. Well, rest
but
in
his
peace,
extended,
Fox.
Yeah, his extended family, we still interact with them quite often.
Okay. So you had contact with Fox, and that's wonderful. Now, and currently you're in the South Carolina area, and
yes.
I hope you're enjoying being in the Palmetto State.
Yes.
It's a nice place. It really is. Got a lot of nice people. Well, we're glad
yes,
to have you here.
Speaking of which, I lived in South Carolina back when the Lizard Man, this is off topic of Bigfoot, but back when the Lizard Man was first spotted. And I failed to mention that at the conference this past weekend.
Well, do you have a Lizard Man story for us? There's no first of all, there's no off topic on this show. It's all good.
Okay.
So what do you know about Lizard Man? What did you ascertain while during that 1988-1990 time?
Well, it was first spotted, and I think the guy, I'm not sure, the first one that I was aware of was there was a sighting of the Lizard Man in Brownville. And that was when I got interested, and everybody went Lizard Man crazy, you know. And
they did.
I know that was in 88, and then we had Hurricane Hugo that came through in 89. And it sort of, everything died down after that. There was no more sightings or anything right after that. But it pretty much destroyed the entire state.
Wow. You know, that is one fact that I don't think anyone has ever mentioned. That that would explain something. And I had an interview with a fella in Bishopville, and he said that because of the drought in 1988 and the lack of rainfall, seawater was encroaching up into the rivers, and that was pushing lizard man further and further up into the state of South Carolina, so that it was up towards the K-4 swamp area. But that would make sense if Hurricane Joe came around in 2000, in 1989, that would have really replenished the freshwater lake.
I actually lived in Charleston, and I mean, it came right over Charleston at the time, and everything was just devastation, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a great observation, and I will work that into the new edition of the book. So thanks for sharing that with us. That's a valuable piece of Lizard Man information. Now I want to say hello to my buddy Robin McCray. How are you doing, Robin?
I'm doing good. Glad to be here.
We are glad to have you here, and thanks for being at the Lizard Man Festival. So you ladies are here because you really got. Now, Robin, I asked Janice, so tell us a little bit about your experience with Bigfoot up to this point, and why we're here talking with you.
Well, you know, I don't remember a time like Janice. I just don't remember a time they weren't there. When I was like 4 years old, we would go down to the end of our block, and there was this dirt mounds and woods and everything down there. And, you know, you could let your kids go out at that time. And I would go down there and ride my bike, and there would be three or four of them that would come up in the tree line, and they would just stand there swaying back and forth and mind speak. You know, I mean, I grew up not knowing anything was different until I found out nobody else could hear them but me at that time. And they've just, wherever I've lived, they've just always, you know, even if it's not the same ones, they've always just showed, there's always been some that have showed up. Now, I moved to South Carolina from Michigan, and the majority of the clan that I worked with in Michigan is now here.
Well, that's a nice compliment to you.
Yeah, my buddies.
I guess they like you. I can tell everybody that when I was at your house this past weekend, we walked out. There was almost no wind, but the trees on the, I guess, looking from the road would be the right side of your house, were just shaking. And it wasn't, it definitely was, the wind was blowing and they were shaking. And you indicated that you felt like they were just kind of climbing through some of the trees. And I was seeing the result of that. It was a little frightening.
Well, you know, they get nervous. You know, it's new people. They're very protective. And it's just their way of checking everything out, letting you know they're there, but they're keeping an eye, watchful eye. When my husband Pat and I got together the first time he came to my house, and he was very well aware of them, and he was already mind-speaking with them. Then he came to the house and pulled up in the front yard, and I watched him through the window. He got out of the car, and then I saw him look over to the woods, and then he got back in the car. I thought, you just drove all the way from Indiana to Michigan. Why are you getting back in the car? And I went out there and asked him what was wrong, and he said, didn't you hear that? He said, they were out here screaming and hollering from the woods at me. And I said, well, they don't know you. You know, you're somebody new. And so they generally, you know, new people, they watch close. they've been quite active over here last night and yesterday and today.
Yeah.
They were up and having little get-togethers on the roof last night.
Yeah, now, it was interesting. You and I were standing out on your back porch, and I saw a gray light. It was circular on the ground, kind of moving about. And what did you?
It was Shadow. He was close. Yeah, he's one that came from Michigan here. He's been everywhere I've been. He's an absolute sweetheart.
Yeah. Now, tell us approximately how old do the Bigfoots that you've experienced, how long do they live in the natural environment with no problems occurring? Or is that something that
Janice and I were talking about this the other day because, you know, when they're in that flesh and blood, I mean, the ones that I personally have seen, I'm not speaking about everybody's, but the ones I've personally seen, I've been told, you know, can live anywhere from 80 to 100 years old. But then I've also spoke with some that claim they're, you know, 200 and 300 years old. So I don't know. I mean, Janice might be able to fill you more than that, but, I mean, that's what I've gotten from them.
Janice, what have you got?
Well, physically, I know that Fox lived to be in his 70s. And I have been told by them, again, it's about the same as what Robin, anywhere between 80 and 100 years old is normal. I've had them tell me that they could live to be into 100, even up to 150 years old. But then, again, some of the...
I think some of the elders and the ancients.
The elders, I guess, is the way the ancient ones. They claim they can live way up there in age, like 300, 400, 500 years old.
Yeah, you know. So,
and I don't know whether it's just their essence that lives, or their wisdom, or you know.
Yeah, I have to agree with Janice because I think once they hit over that. Even 125 to 150 year marker, you know, I don't know if their soul lingers or their essence, whatever you want to call it, but it sticks around. You know, I haven't noticed a lot of them that weren't either an elder or an ancient one, but I'm not saying they can't do it either. But I think for the most part of the flesh and blood, I mean, I would be comfortable saying anywhere from 80 to 100, you know, give or take.
I agree.
All right. All right, now, you know, there are three modes of thought about Bigfoot. One is that they're completely flesh and blood. The other one is they're completely spiritual, and there are people that believe they're a combination of either one. But when you talk about mind speech, would each of you tell us a little bit about that? Do you mind describing it? And also, if somebody wanted to learn to mind speak, how can they do it? Is it possible to just learn on their own, or how does that work?
Janice, do you want to go first, or you want me to?
Well, I think it is a gift that everybody is born with, and we are taught to suppress it by age 5 when we first start into kindergarten. It's not a normal. If you watch children play with imaginary friends. They'll be talking, and you know, and they wait and they listen. And everybody says, oh, that's an imaginary friend. It's not real. When in actuality, I can remember talking to beings. I don't know whether you would call them angels or what. I call them ghosts, for lack of a better name. And they were my friends, you know. I could talk to my cats. I can talk to my dogs, you know, a lot of animals. And it's a combination of getting pictures, getting words, images, body language, it all wraps into one.
Feeling. Yeah.
And I think that the best thing that I ever did was I went to the Ryan Center, and I was tested. And they told me that I was very clairvoyant, and I was very telepathic.
Okay.
And some of us are more open to that. Other ones, we simply shut it down. It's not a normal thing. We get teased. We get made fun of, ridiculed, you name it. You know, we get told that we're schizophrenic, we're
yep.
psychopaths. I mean, it all goes, wraps in together. But it is something that is very possible. A lot of people, they'll say, okay, you should meditate. Well, no, that doesn't work that way.
Well, I think meditation can be, meditation is a wonderful thing, but it can get dangerous too if you don't know what you're talking to.
No.
Okay. That's
the way I really don't remember a time that I couldn't do this. And I have absolutely freaked people out, because I can do what they call remote viewing. And I can tell you what you have on, what your house looks like, what your animals look like, and different things. And, I did this one time to a man in Russia. And he was like, oh, my God, how do you know that? You've never been here,
Well, now, Janice, I've got to stop you right there. Do not look at my house. I have a three-bedroom house and a one-bedroom apartment.
I don't invade. I don't invade. I don't
okay.
do it unless I ask permission.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I've remote viewed before, too, and I always feel like it's kind of a touchy area because you don't want to invade someone's privacy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I keep that shut down unless they ask for it.
Well, I guess when you talk about mind speak, and you kind of wonder, there are two points I want to make here. Number one, think about a guy like Leonardo da Vinci, who is probably assumed to be one of the most brilliant people that ever lived. I mean, was he actually just mind speaking and getting these great ideas from beyond? I guess we all have a certain level of intelligence, but the folks that like Einstein and Stephen Hawking and all that, are they getting some of their great ideas from mind speak? What do you think?
That's very possible.
I think it's very possible. Actually, I think it's actually a lot of the information did come from higher intelligence.
Yeah, I mean, once you open that channel and you can mind speak with anything. I talk to all my animals. My husband and I have mind spoke to each other before. It's not just limited to the forest people.
No,
it's not.
It can
be with anything. Whether it's a spirit, whether it's an ET, whether it's a dogman, it doesn't matter what it is. Because all those things are telepathic. It's like we're the last one to the table on it because we've been taught and controlled to the point where we have never accepted the fact we can do it. That's why, and I have to agree with Janice on this, I think this is why the kids are able to do it, because they haven't been controlled enough to make them believe it's not possible. We limit ourselves because we don't believe that all things are possible. Mind speak is not anything that we haven't been able to do.
See, it's interesting. Jen Cruz, my friend of the She Squatchers, she always goes about it by this example. She says there are 20 billion bits of information around us at all times, and we only assimilate or can really listen to about 2 million of them, not the 20 billion that are around us. And
right.
She says all this information is around us all the time. And it's like when you get an idea, like a premonition, like, oh, I don't need to do that or whatever. What you're doing, and Janice is interesting, because I was tested at the Ryan as well.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, I was tested at the Ryan, in the mid-90s, and it was quite interesting. But what I found out is that there are times when, you know, great ideas just seem to pop in your head and they're fully formed. And now, is that your brain, or are you pulling down some complete nugget of information? Like, okay, I'm sitting there talking to Robin on the telephone, and all of a sudden I had this idea, and I'm not going to tell the idea exactly what it is, but I had an idea of a small kids book that we could write about Bigfoot. And it's like the entire idea just drove right into my head. And there
I talked up the whole outline
of the book while I was talking to you.
Yeah, I think we get a lot of information that we just, because people tend to have large egos, we think it's all coming from us, and I think we get a lot of help.
Well,
you know, it's like
you'll
go to ask yourself a question, and before you're done asking the question in your head, the answer's already there. You know, and I think it's happened to everybody.
Well, I don't want to sound sacrilegious or anything, but it's like everybody, you know, a lot of people believe in God. Okay, how do you talk to God? How do you pray to God and expect Him to answer your prayers? Okay, if there is a greater force out there. It doesn't matter who you call, what you call the creator or whatever. There is a greater force out there, and you do get answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get people all the time that contact me, and they're like, teach me how to mind speak. It's not like you flip the switch or you study in a book. You have to be open, and 9 out of 10 times what I found is people are getting mind speak, but they don't realize that's what they're getting. You know, like Janice said, this isn't, if, I mean, I'm not saying you're not going to get hearing words or voices in your head, because you do, but it's not always that. It can be a feeling. It can be a thought that popped in your head that you have no idea where it came from, and then it was gone again. It could be a vision. It could be a picture, you know, an emotion. You know, I go out in the woods, and I pick off emotions up off the foot all the time and anything else that's out there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like I can feel it. Janice does it too. And,
yeah.
You know, that's all part of mind speak. I think people, because they want to mind speak, tend to have it in their minds that it's just going to come in like a voice talking to you. And I'm not saying that won't happen, but a lot of times, you know, they'll go to MindSpeak, and you all of a sudden will get this feeling, and you already know the whole conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know.
It's like with me, and I'm just going to take, for instance, I'm very attached to a lot of my cats, and I MindSpeak. I start speaking to them mentally. I mean, you know, and without words, when they're kittens, when they're 3 or 4 weeks old, and their attention span is that of a gnat at that point.
Yep.
But as they grow, they focus, you know, and they start to communicate back. And they, you know, you're not learning the yowls and the meows that they do. You're actually mind speaking with them. And a great, for instance, is I brought 2 kittens, they were half grown, down here to Robin. And I told them, I simply sit in the living room, and I said, okay, whichever one of you, and this was all done mentally without any verbal words coming out. I said, whichever one of you want to stay with Robin and become her pet and her kitty, go over there and lay down beside Robin. And whoever wants to go back home with us, come over here and get in my lap. Well, Dory chose Robin. She says, I'll stay. I like this big house. I can run and do whatever I want to, and I'll be the boss.
Yeah, she thinks she is. Well, and that was like when she got here, because I had looked at her picture and fallen in love with her by her picture. And Janice said, well, I'm going to bring a couple so you can, you know, take a look at them. And then she had mind spoke with them. And when they got here, I did as well. And the first thing Dory said when I said, well, which one of you guys wants to stay, was, oh, no, I'm the one that's staying. It's going to be me. And I was like, alrighty then, now we know who's staying. And the other one would come up and climb on me, be loved on or whatever, and I'd pay attention to her and scratch her, and Dory would just have a fit and come and push her aside. She's like, no, it's me. I'm the one staying, remember?
Like, okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't have to limit it to the Bigfoot. I do encourage people, though, when you start mind speaking, please be careful. if you don't know what you're talking to, there's things out there that can and will hurt you.
They are,
you know, mind speaking.
Exactly.
Mind speaking is a wonderful thing. I figure I count it as a blessing in my life. But I learned a long time ago, I have to read energies, because something can come at you and say, hey, my name is Mickey Mouse, and it's not Mickey Mouse, it's Satan. You know, you never know. And or it's a bad ET or a bad foot or a bad dog. It doesn't matter. It could be a bad anything. Because in all of these beings, there is good and bad, every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned a long time ago, you know what? You may tell me that you're this and this, but that's not what your energy feels like. So you just blew it. I'm not talking to you anymore. And it's cut off. Because, you know, you can't take any unnecessary chances. And I talked to a lot of people that contact me, and they're like, well, I thought it was such and such, and I've been talking like crazy, and now I'm getting hurt, you know. So you've got to be cautious with it. It's a wonderful thing, but you have to respect it, and you have to be careful with it.
Okay, here's an important question. Don't you think that prayer can sometimes put a shield around you so that some of that has a harder time getting to you? I do.
Well, I think it does, but we also have to realize, I don't discredit that at all, but we also have to realize that the bad things, you know, they don't care about our religious beliefs. They don't care what's good or what's right or what's wrong. So I absolutely encourage people to do that. You know, I'm not going to say that it doesn't work, because I do believe in some cases it does. But I also am a realist, and I also know that these bad things don't care. That's why they're bad. You know, I see a lot of people that will go on and say, well, you know, on Facebook, you have your free will. You just tell them you're not giving them your free will. Well, I just think that's lovely. Unfortunately, in the real world, the reason they're bad is because they don't care about your free will. You know, and we, as much as we love the good ones, and the good ones will give you a love like we've never had before, because it's much deeper and stronger than anything that us hairless humans use. And it's an absolutely beautiful thing that you cherish. But, and not to take away from that, but the bad ones are lethal. Okay? And
yeah,
that's in all these cryptids and beings. It's not just the Bigfoot. But, I mean, if you
look
at our people.
I'll take for instance, there was this man when I was in Indiana that came to an outing that we had. And he was very, very dark. I knew he was dark to begin with. Just, you know, evil. And I let him touch my shoulder. It took me 5 months to shake it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you don't let anybody touch your energy.
Yeah. And he did it. He did it from behind. He came up from behind and he touched me, and it was like I absorbed all that negativity, and I was trying to get rid of it. I tried to shake it, you know, and it just about shut me down. I wasn't blocked at the time. I do know how to block. If I don't want to have interaction with the Bigfoot or anybody or anything, I block.
And I've done that as well. You have
and,
to.
Yeah. And what it is for me to block is I simply shut down. I'm like, okay, I'm not listening to this. I don't care if there's 50,000 things coming at me at once. It's a no-no, you know.
Well, I did a conference in the upper part of Michigan, and one of the days that I did it for, I did it a couple times, but they were like 1 and 2 day conferences, and I spoke, and this gentleman that was in the front row was watching me. And he didn't do anything bad. I mean, he wasn't being rude or nasty or giving me any dirty looks, but I could feel just being from the podium to where he was that he was not good. And I also didn't feel like he was completely human either, but that's another thing. And we came up after it was over, several people came up to talk to me, and he was absolutely determined to take my hand. And I was refusing to give him my hand because, you know, you don't want anybody messing with your energy. You don't want anybody getting their hands on you if they're evil or if they're bad. You don't want those negative energies. You don't want anything they got going on. And he was relentless. I mean, he really, and finally his brother was also there, and he came up, and he must have figured out that it was just not going to happen. But it was like he would try to take my hand, and then he would give me this bizarre look on his face. And I thought, I don't know what you're doing, but you're not doing it with me. And I literally, I'm like, I blocked everything. And I've done that, you know, with other beings as well. If you don't feel like that vibe is good or that energy is good, you just shut it down. And you don't respond to anybody. You end up being like Fort Knox.
Well, it's interesting when you're talking about this, because when Boris Spassky and Bobby Fischer were having a couple of their great chess matches, Bobby Fischer from the United States said that he felt negative and horrible and confusing energy bombarding him the entire time. There were several Russians in the front row watching, and it has slipped out that they kind of messed with his brain while he was trying to have this great match for Spassky. And, you know, that is a type of warfare that can
happen. Absolutely. Yeah, and it does. And I've talked to a lot of people that have had that happen to them, and they really get messed up. I mean, it's not anything to play lightly with.
Right.
But, I mean, we have to remember our own people have good and bad. So it's not just, I mean, let's be clear. It's not just the Bigfoot. It's not just the Dogman. It's not just the ETs. They're literally good and bad. I mean, that makes the cosmic balance, and there is that in everybody. But our own people, I mean, we have rapists, murderers, you know, child molesters. We've got it all, too. So I don't think they're any worse than we are. But because of the abilities they have, we've got to be careful.
Right. Now, Papa Stro, I wanted to ask you something because you are in the people as a wrestler. You are certainly in the people business. I'm gonna just – it's kind of a general question here, but you can feel the good and the bad from competitors that you've been around, those that you walk – I'm asking a question. Can you feel the ones that want to hurt you when they get in the ring versus the ones – that want to put on a great wrestling match? You ever felt that?
I feel so stereotype wrestler. Oh my god. Jeez. I do so many things. Acting. I work with the Chamber of Commerce here. I do so much, and yet I'm still a wrestler.
I know. I'm sorry.
Back to your question. Well, it's just like in life, you know, you get a pretty good reads on people, those little things like eye contact, body language, through different things, to where you find out real quick what a person's intentions are, whether it be in the ring, whether it be meeting people you work with, or just meeting people on the street, et cetera. I mean, it's just... you get certain aura, certain vibes off of people through the sound of their language, through their body language, through eye contact, because the eyes don't lie. I mean, you could say anything you want to somebody, but if your eyes are telling something totally different, then it is what it is. So little things like that.
At Walmart.
Yeah, just... That's a great example. I mean, because it's like certain things with the body, with certain people, I mean, it shows their true intention. Just like you get an aura or a vibe from something, whether tangible, intangible, whether you see, you can't see. You know, it's like... I'll give you a good example. When we were at Robin's place this weekend, right?
Yep.
And all that activity was going down. Even though I felt that there were a lot of things happening in the area, I didn't get that sense of anything threatening at all. You know,
no, they're pretty good here.
We've worked pretty hard
to keep everything. Okay. Not that it can't happen, but so far we've been pretty good.
Yeah, the only freaky thing is me.
just from personal experience, you know, I felt there was a lot going on, but at the same time, there wasn't any threatening vibe. I wasn't getting that, you know what I mean? So,
because
I've been in places where, you know what I mean, I've been in places where, I was with ghost hunters and investigating different haunted places, right? And there were certain places we went that there was a strong vibe, was like, we need to, like, go the other direction, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we've got a couple of ghosts around here, but so far they've been pretty friendly. We haven't, you know, had any issues. We've been very fortunate. Not that something can happen, but we try real hard to keep it as mellow as we can around here. You know, they, like I said, they were the last 48 hours, they've been quite full of themselves. They were climbing up the big pine tree on the end of the house by my bedroom, and then they go across the roof above my room, and then they jump up on the second story. And Jan was in the second story, so she, once they got done running across the roof on my end, they went over to hers.
Well, just like, it's like you all reading out things that we can't see. You know, it's really not, if you think about it, it's really not far-fetched from reading out people that we can't see. It's just reading out the little things that determine whether, they're, you know, what their intentions are, if they're friendly or they're threatening, et cetera.
Yeah.
Right. It's like I get the shakes when I'm around so much new energy, and I got the shakes when I was at your house. And I said to myself, well, I'm never coming back here. And you know, it was in my head, and the voice came right back and said, oh no, we'll see you again soon. And I said, oh, okay, great.
Yep.
But it was so funny. You know, it's like, and yesterday, and Robin, I was telling you about a wonderful phone call that I got. I just got the shakes because I felt this massive amount of energy was going on, and it wasn't anything I could control.
Right.
And it took me about an hour to just like calm down from it. It's not fear. It's just
I think that's normal. You know, it's a different energy. It's an excitable energy. You're going to feel it. You know, you're going to have a reaction to whatever kind of energy it is.
Yeah, I have panic attacks, anxiety attacks. I mean, it comes with the territory.
Yeah.
Right. I know the feeling, Janet. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? How do yours go away? How do you get rid of it?
No, I try to control it like I'm in control. Right. That's a joke. I simply focus and try to figure out what is causing the problem. You know, what is causing me to be this way? Is it something that I do have control over, or is it someone actually trying to play tricks with me? I call it playing tricks because especially when the big guys are trying to contact me and get a message through, a lot of times I try to block them and I shut them out, and they don't like for me to do that.
They have no patience when it comes to that.
And it's like there was a message that they were trying to get through to me earlier tonight. And I said, okay, don't worry, I won't go there. And I was having a full-blown panic attack. You can ask Robin.
Yeah.
And I finally figured out what was causing it and why. And one of her foots said, do not mention this. And I said, okay, not to worry, you know.
Are you talking about tonight?
Yes, tonight.
Yeah. Well, I've had a couple of messages of what not to ask.
They're pretty specific. Yeah, and, you know, for something that has us an enormous amount of patience to hide behind a tree and watch us for hours on end, they have no patience when they want something said.
Yeah.
I mean, they are, like, literally a two-year-old going off in your head. Janice and I, when we were at the Lizard Festival and we were both speaking, and it was the same thing. I'm getting stuff. Janice is getting stuff, and Janice is leaning over to me going, okay, we were supposed to tell them this. I'm going, okay, because I'm getting it as well. And, you know, it is. They have no patience. I had one, this was back, like, 2012, and a friend of mine and I were sitting out in the yard, and the foots were out walking around. We knew they were. And one that I was close to was standing behind me, and he kept calling my name in mindspeak. And my friend was talking to me about something extremely important, and I'm like, okay, you're going to have to take a seat and just wait because I need to hear what she says first. And he finally got mad enough where he did a big foot stomp, and then he just verbally yelled my name as loud as he could. And I looked at her, and I said, please tell me you heard that. She said, no, people in Guam heard that.
Okay.
She says, they're not going to stop. You need to just hear what they have to say, and then we'll go back to them.
Well, you know, I want to shift, just shift the discussion slightly. And this is what some people, I guess, what people, some people call the law of attraction. Okay, today night, I interviewed the winner of the assault on Mount Mitchell, the great bike race. And I said, you know,
oh, cool.
I want to get a bike. I want to start riding it. Okay, so the next day around noon, I'm walking out to my car to get something, and one of my neighbors is riding a bike, and he looked at me and said, I'm getting ready to move to Asheville, and I can't take my three bikes. You want to buy this one for $20? And I said,
oh, wow, that's fantastic.
No, I mean, it's like this happens to me so frequently now. And I said, I'm running to the copy shop. Let me come back. And I thought to myself, you know, this is unbelievable. I want a bike. And I was going to get me a used bike and maybe pay $125. And here's a perfectly good one. So when I got back, I made him drive and put me to the brakes work. And I said, here's $20, buddy. I said, oh, and here's a lock so you can put it right here in front of your door. And it was just amazing. You know, I said, I really want one. This will be great. I spent an hour and 10 minutes interviewing this guy, and I was just thinking how great it would be to have a bike and go ride again. It'd be a lot more fun than trying to catch him. So there, it just shows right up. What experiences have all three of you had with, I hate to call it the law of attraction. I don't know that that's the correct name for it. But what experiences have you had with it that did you believe might relate to mind speak?
Well, I think it all does. I mean, you know, there's a lot of times, you know, I'll be here at the house or I'll be somewhere and I'll think, boy, I really need this to happen, you know, to make what I need to do work. And it just like it happens. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know why it happens, but it happens. I mean, you get a little help here now and then, you know, and I think it happens to everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, are you talking about when things happen and you have a premonition, or could you repeat that sort of?
Well, okay, I guess it's a little bit like a streak of good luck.
Oh.
Like, I don't know what's been going on in my life in the last 48 hours, but every time I turn around, I get something good is happening. And it's really kind of crazy. I mean, it's like I have a streak of good luck going. I don't know where it's coming from, but I appreciate it. I mean, I've had streaks of bad luck before. We've all had them. But it's
well,
like
I think.
Okay, I think that this is the way I put it. God will pick you up and put you where you are needed, whether you realize at the time
mm-hmm.
the purpose of it or...
Oh, I agree.
You know. And,
okay.
You know,
we
sometimes
agree.
Sometimes I have very good luck. Other times I have luck that I'm like, okay, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all, you know.
Mine, it goes both ways. It's like, I'll get up in the morning and I'll think, okay, this is going to happen today. I don't know why I think this is going to happen today. And it happens. But in that same respect, sometimes I'll get up and I'll say, you know what, for whatever reason, something's going to happen and it's not going to be good today. I need to be braced for it. Or I'll know exactly what it is and I'll be able to key in on it. And it happens that way. I mean, it's just crazy. You know, I mean, you can call it premonitions. You can call it good luck, bad luck. But, you know, it just happens. And I think if you're, you know, like Jana said, you know, if God wants you in some place, you're going to end up there. If he wants things to happen a certain way, it's going to happen that way. And you can fight it. You can be happy about it. You can be sad about it. It's going to happen. It doesn't change what is going to happen. In your case, John, I think you're on a path that you're supposed to be on.
Yeah.
I really do. Like, the things good that are happening to you right now, it's because you're on the right path. You know, you might have gotten sidetracked in some other areas, but you are on the path you're supposed to be on, and you're going to do a lot of good. And
well,
I know the stuff that you and I were talking about can do a lot of good
mm-hmm.
for a lot of things.
Yeah, it's well, like I, you know, for instance, okay, I was picked up, you know, something told me, and I mentioned it to Robin. She mentioned about going to the Lizard Man Festival, and I said, well, okay, I'll come and we'll go to it too, you know. She asked if I wanted to go, and I said, sure, you know, why not? And we got down here, and it was like, okay, there's a reason for everything. And
absolutely.
You know, and it's like, okay, if we got through to one person, that's one person more, you know, that we've helped in some way, shape, or form.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And, John, if I could maybe hijack things for just a moment, if that would be okay?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. I'm getting a lot of feedback from the foots, and not only that, Janice and I have already talked about this, and I find it very important. I want to get it out there.
Yeah, I'm
Janice
standing out here on the porch right now.
I'm
just so you know, I was called
here.
Out here.
Yeah. Janice and I are working on a project right now that is very near and dear to our heart, and I just want to kind of be shameless and plug it while we're on air, because I think it is important, and I think not just for the Bigfoots, but I think for us as people as well. We are going to be working on a new project. It's called the International Hominology of Forest People. And this is going to be headed up by Dr. Igor Borstov. It was his idea. It's something he's wanted to do for as long as I've known him, probably longer. And, you know, we want to be able to make a difference in this research. We've got some wonderful researchers out there, but everybody's just kind of going off in all directions. They really are. And it's not that they're not doing good work. That is not it at all. What we want to do is we want to connect the researchers. We want to get the regular everyday people, eyewitnesses, contactees, habituators, scientists, anthropologists. We all need to come together as a collective whole, okay? We've got a lot to learn from each other. Individually, we may not pack much of a punch. Together, we can do anything, all right? The goals for this project are we want to study the culture and the lifestyle of the forest people. It's in depth. It exists. It's not just some random thing running around in the woods. And there's a lot we can learn not only about them for our people, but for them. Okay? They've been here for a long time. They're not going anywhere. And we tend to get people out in the woods and we're encroaching on their areas. We're disrespectful to them. And it's not always that we try to be disrespectful. But we need to learn their ways. We need to learn how what means what to them. I mean, what we think about one way is different for them, and we need to do that. They have a language, okay? And we need to acknowledge that. We need to learn about it. Now, people go out in the woods all the time, and they look at all these wonderful structures they build. And you know what? We need to learn more about it because 9 out of 10 of them have a meaning. They're there for a reason. They're not just there to entertain us and so they can sit on the sidelines and watch us oohing and aahing over it. You know,
you're talking about the sticks.
The stick structures, yeah.
The stick structures.
We would like to.
The markers, I mean, you know, I'm interrupting now. I'm sorry, Robin.
You're fine. Go for it.
For instance, Robin had this little pig gets out. She's got a little pot-bellied pig, and he gets out all the time. Okay, they put a marker of sticks, directional sticks, to show him how to get back in.
I mean, it was amazing.
It's not only for us. It's for other things, you know.
Exactly. We need to educate people, and that's one of the goals in this project. We want to educate people. We want them to have a higher understanding of these beings. We want them to be aware of it. We need people to understand that there are ways to coexist. It doesn't have to end in violence. Okay? We want people to realize that, yes, there's wonderful, wonderful ones out there, but there's also bad ones, and people need to know how to read the signs so that they know this and how they can identify with it. We also want to help people in their ways of interaction. We want people safe. We don't want people being scared. You know what? 9 out of 10 times when they get bluff charged or they're getting ran off, it's because our humans are doing something that is disrespectful or not appropriate for their people. But people need to learn it. And you know what? We're not experts. There are no experts in this. There's never going to be experts in this. But
no,
we can teach people what we have them.
Way, you know.
Exactly. You know, in doing this, we're going to be conducting conferences, workshops. We're going to have out-in-the-field researchers. We're going to have all kinds of media, different venues. Okay, we're going to get some books out there. We're going to get some pamphlets out there. You know, our ultimate goal is we want them recognized as Indigenous Aboriginal people, which is what they are.
Okay.
It's going to take everybody together to do it. We want to get a petition. I mean, they don't need protection from anybody except us. But what they do need is to be acknowledged that they exist, because we can't get people to fully believe what needs they need to know about them if we cannot get our government to acknowledge they exist. Okay, and I get why they don't want that brought out for a lot of reasons that we don't need to get into right now, but the truth is they need to get out there. Our organization is, like many others before it, I'm sure, we're going to try to get that done. You know, hopefully we'll have more success than some of the other ones out there. But it really is an important thing. This goes beyond just research. You know, I mean, I think we all get into it. Maybe not so much Janice and I, because, you know, we don't know any different. They were just there when we were little. But
yeah.
A lot of people get into this for recreation and because they're intrigued. And that's great. Excuse me. But these aren't actual people. Okay, the DNA has been tested. Doesn't matter if the government's going to acknowledge it. Doesn't matter who's going to believe it. They have been tested. They are people. They have language. They have a culture. They have laws. You know, they have all these things, that, and not to mention the DNA.
Yeah.
So anyway, this organization, we have a lot of high hopes for. We are bringing in a lot of top-notch people on it. There's going to be a lot of effort put for us in it. And, John, you have been just tremendous to us. And we look forward to working more with you. You know, we've got some plans that we're talking about with you, and I think you're going to be a big part of all this.
Well, what I
and
can
Pop,
tell you, the
we
most,
want you there too,
yeah,
buddy.
The most amazing thing is that tomorrow I'm supposed to get a contract from Aiken Technical College to host the Mid-South Bigfoot Conference over MLK.
It's going to be fantastic.
State.
I cannot wait.
Well, the whole idea is that I have gotten interest now in an academic institution that wants to host it. And I'll tell you what the big comment was from the lady I'm dealing with. There are a lot of people down here that want to know how much your ticket. I said, give me the agreement and I'll decide up in a day. You know, so there's a lot of interest down there. And this is in Aiken, South Carolina. It's very near Augusta, which has Augusta State College, which is a really good college. They've got a lot of folks. They've got people in psychology. They've got people in anthropology. They've got folks that I believe if Aiken Tech decided to hold this thing, there must be a reason. There must be some researchers down there. I've already been contacted by one from Charleston Southern University. He's a professor there. He writes about Bigfoot. He's an anthropologist. So, I mean, you know, I believe there is academic interest in this. It's not going to go away. I mean, lack of information, which is what we suffer from, lack of information, and like this silly FBI article that said it was deer hair. I know we all saw it today. Scary cat. I mean, you know, just this lack of information.
Ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The person
okay.
that went out and got those samples was an experienced researcher. Okay, he had spent years in the woods. He knows what flipping deer hair looks like. And for everybody out there that has already seen or gotten hair samples, and there's a ton of people that have, there is nothing even slightly resembling deer.
No.
I mean, it from the texture on up, they're not even something to consider. That's laughable. And the fact that the government felt that that was going to justify it and shut it up just shows how sad the situation is, which makes myself, Janice, Igor, and all the other members of our crew that we're getting together for this all more determined to do this.
Amen to that.
Yep.
Because,
yep.
I mean, I don't.